is The Opus with Dr. Charles. I'm an entrepreneur, innovator, and changemaker, and here we'll talk about issues affecting young people, and it is my hope that with each episode, you will improve even more. So, welcome. Hello guys, I've missed you all a bit. So welcome to today's episode. I wanted to, use today to talk about, the digital health, landscape or the digital health industry in Nigeria. As you all know, most of you know, I am a medical doctor by training. However, after a few short years working, in the hospital setting, traditional, conventional healthcare, I decided to go in search of new pastures, and I co-founded a digital health company called MobiCure, which basically provides digital health solutions for Nigeria and, the rest of Africa. But I'm not here to really dwell on, MobiCure or what MobiCure does. I will only, talk about it and pick some particular examples about our work while talking about today's topic. But I really wanted to talk about the digital health landscape in Nigeria, So digital health startups are doing okay currently in Nigeria. But if you compare, so people make this comparison, and I see it on Twitter with a lot of the, will I say thought leaders, especially in the tech space, there's this, sort of bashing when it comes to digital health, like, oh, the digital health space is not doing well. And maybe the founders in that space don't know what they're doing. Or people even say stuff like, oh, they don't understand the market. Why are there so many startups doing the same thing? And stuff like that, But it's important to understand, first of all, healthcare and digital health is such a unique space. It's different from fintech. It's different from agri-tech. It's different from, all the other, tech industries in Nigeria or in Africa as a whole. So it's important that you actually really understand what's happening. So I'm just going to talk about the landscape. So I'll start with, so part of the reason why, if you wanted to compare like health tech with maybe fintech, for example, and you say, oh, health tech is not doing as well as fintech. Startups in health tech have not secured nearly as much funding as our counterparts in fintech. So what's the reason? Because it's important we understand why. And I'll sort of broadly talk about them in, two categories. The first is, I wanted to address the issues when it comes to healthcare generally, from a consumer perspective in Nigeria. And then I will now end by talking about the issues with the digital health space. There's a caveat as I begin. I am not an expert even though I've been working in the digital health space for, the better part of 5 years. What's 5 years? Probably 6 or 7 years, because from when we started the idea till now, so 2013, 2014 till now, it's been quite a while. However, I feel that we don't have any we have some hugely successful digital health startups now, some successful ones, but not in the realm of, say, an Andela or a Flutterwave or a Paystack, nothing at that level yet, which is some cause for, okay, so why is this happening? So, as a result of that, I don't really think you should say anyone is an expert. There are really no experts. But we all do have an opinion. So this is my idea from someone who's actually been doing this for, the better part of 7 years. So first of all, why is digital healthcare so difficult in Nigeria? You have to understand, from the mind of the user, for the average Nigerian, health is not viewed as a necessity. As crazy as that sounds, that's the truth. There have been numerous, I saw one again at the beginning of the year. study done by I think it was starts from National Bureau of Statistics, and where they talked about, you know, consumer spending, household spending in Nigeria, in different cities in Nigeria, and what were sort of their ranking in terms of needs. And for, on the average, consumers or users, households were spending 50 to 60% on food, right? Healthcare did not even rank in the top five. I mean, you had food, which was the overwhelming number one. You had things like transportation, education, housing, you know, or rent. You even had healthcare even coming below things like entertainment and communications, right? People are spending more on airtime and data and DSTV subscription than they are on healthcare. And why is that? Healthcare is not viewed as a necessity. Healthcare ranks low. So this is a problem, because when you talk about the fact that Nigeria is already a country where 86 million people are living in poverty, right? So that's already a handicap for spending. The other ones who can even now, who you say, okay, they are not living in poverty and they can even now afford to pay some from their disposable income, they view food first, of course, because if you don't eat, you die. So food, number one, then education, then transportation, then housing, then even entertainment and stuff that makes them happy before they get to healthcare. The average Nigerian never visits the hospital, doesn't go for a physical, doesn't go for dental. The average Nigerian is proud to say, I've not been to a hospital in the last 5 years. Because they think that that's good health. No, that's not. So the reason for all of this is, it's a mixture of poverty, but it's also just a mindset thing, right? As a mentality, as a country, we, as a collective, we only fix things when they are a problem. Healthcare, normally all around the world, it's a maintenance thing. So even if you're healthy, you should go to a hospital. You should, I mean, women over, you know, 21 or 25 should go every 3 years for a pap smear, or every 5 years. We don't do those things, right? Go for examination. If you are over 40, 45, go and check your prostate. We don't do all those things, right? In Nigeria, we rather, you know, patronize the patent medicine dealer, that's on your street or on your junction, or you drink agbo. Even the rich do all of these things, you know, herbal concoctions, because healthcare is not a necessity. As crazy as that sounds, we only go to a hospital when it is an emergency. So that's on one hand, right? So healthcare spending ranks very low. So you have these digital health startups or digital health businesses. Now, they need consumers to spend money on these services, whether it's telemedicine, whether it's whatever. But if healthcare as a collective is number 7 on the list, right? The reports I read, the percentage was, for some households, was as low as 1.5 or 3% of the total amount. So that's, it's from there that digital health company is now trying to get money from. That's already working from a position of disadvantage. So that's the first problem. Now, the second problem is healthcare. People view healthcare as a social service. And there are a number of reasons why this is the case. The first is poverty, right? So as we know, 86 plus million people in Nigeria live below $1.25 a day. Basically, that's like 600 naira a day, right? If you convert that to a monthly sum, that's about 18,000 a month. For some of you who are well off, you know, you probably wonder how that is. It's the truth, right? Some of us know people who are working as fuel attendants or shop attendants who are earning, you know, 18K, 15K, 12K, even 20K. It's that's not a lot, but that's what they're earning. So they make up these 86 million. So these are not just, you know, mere facts or figures or percentages. Or these are actually real people. So as a result of the poverty, right, these people are also not used to, they are used to a certain kind of quality, right? So when you earn 20K a month, right, and you are married with a wife who is a school teacher, maybe earning another 15K, and you have three children. So the collective for the household is 45,000 naira. With three children, two of them who are in school, your choices of healthcare are limited. So you probably patronize, even when you go to the hospital, it must be a government one, government-owned one, or maybe a health center. And of course, the services, they are not very great. So first of all, because of the poverty and because of their income, they are used to a certain lack of quality. That's what they are used to getting. So when you now tell them, hey, you can pay maybe just a little more and get some quality service, maybe through your mobile phone or through this new innovative way of doing it, they don't understand it. Why? Because first of all, they are thinking, why do I have to pay more than this? And you hear stuff like, and we even hear it in our app, people come on the app and you say, oh, you can pay 2,000 naira only and get, now 2,000 naira, for those of you who are listening abroad, 2,000 naira is $5, right? Or even say $4.50. So you can pay that to be able to chat, have unlimited access to a medical doctor and a therapist for a whole month, 24/7. And they'll tell you, why is it not free? Why? Because they are used to, when you go to hospitals, there are some things that they get for free, especially in those health centers. They are not used to quality. There are people who even go to the review on Play Store on our app and say, oh, this app is whack. Why do I have to pay for this? It should be free, right? So those are the things that you're already working against. So first of all, like I said, healthcare is not viewed as a necessity. Then it's viewed as a social service. When people agree that, oh, it's important, they say, oh, why do I have to pay? Or why do I have to pay this much? Even when you promise them, even when you show them the quality that they are getting, they ain't buying. Right? So when you add this to the prevailing distrust for, you know, institutions in Nigeria. So Nigerians have distrust in institutions. So our government has failed us. Right, government doesn't do their job. Nigerians mistrust everything. You mistrust, you know, the government, you mistrust businesses, you mistrust everything because, you know, you think that everybody is out to get you. Because largely in the country, people have not kept their promises and people have not been held accountable. So when you add this, and of course, Nigerians also distrust online services. Because, I mean, I know, I can tell you many people who, you know, there are many, multiple examples of people who have, you know, either been defrauded by maybe an Instagram vendor or somebody selling something on Twitter or online. So it's just a big melting pot of, you know, distrust, you know, and all the issues I raised before. When you add it together, when that digital health startup comes with the service that says, hey, you can pay XYZ for this because it will help you do this. It's convenient. You can sit at home. It's fast. You know, it's instant. They'll tell you, no, how can these things be? Right? So those are the issues. So it's important for people to know. So people from the outside looking in, these are the issues that we in the digital health space are facing. It's no excuse to say, okay, that's why we shouldn't do as well as we should. But it's important to have this at the back of your mind. So that's why even, you know, digital health startups, if you're looking for having conversations with investors, they have to understand the kind of space that they are going to be putting money in. It's not fintech. It's different. It's very different. So they have to know what they are getting into. So that's the problem. So those are the issues with sort of healthcare from a consumer side. Then you now get to, you know, the digital health space, and there are issues with the digital health space itself. So there was a recent study by, I think it was TechAbout did a report for digital health startups in not just Nigeria, but a number of African countries, where they talked about the fact that, you know, 40 to 60% of these startups have closed, you know, and no longer in existence. So for some, these are startups that have closed shop, you know, after opening just merely 2 or 3 years after they were founded. That was, again, it's like another damning report, right? But it's important to know why is this? So part of it is what I've discussed in the first half when I talked about issues in healthcare. But there are also issues in the digital health space. So this is where I'll sort of talk about, you know, some of the things that we are to blame for. You know, the factors I talked about, they're sort of extraneous factors. Things that we already, it's like you're entering a fight with, you know, your left hand tied behind your back, you know. But when you do get into the fight, there are things you can do even with your right hand. And that's what I want to talk about. So what's the motive for, you know, starting, you know, startups in the digital health space? A lot of the, half of the people who start these startups are, you know, doctors. And as a doctor, I can tell you that doctors are not the best businessmen a lot of the times. Because when we went to school, for med school, we were basically taught to think in a certain way, to do things in a certain way for the good of our patients, and not really taught innovation in this sense, right? Which is great. However, if you want to do a startup, there are advantages in having, you know, doctors actually in senior leadership, because they bring discipline, they bring quality of care, you know, they bring a certain decorum, you know, to everything that you do. But it's also important that you have people who are going to be very good in the business side or very good in the, you know, product side as well. So that's the problem. So the motive for starting is different, because when a lot of doctors start, or a lot of medical people, not just doctors, start this thing, they started with the idea that they just want to have a product that, so I hear a lot of, you know, maybe young graduates or people in the health space will come to me and say, they'll come to me and say stuff like, I have this idea that can do this and this. Please just point me to the direction of a software developer that will just build the app for me. So the next thing I say is, okay, so are you starting, is this like a business? Is this like a pet project? Is this like a non-profit? Which is it? They're like, never really thought of it in that manner. I just wanted to just do something. I say, it's great that you want to just do something, but it's important that you actually decide what it is, right? Because if it's a business, all well and good. The next thing you should actually be thinking about is, okay, let us build up, what's the business model? So how would this business make money, right? What are the things that you need? How are you exactly going to run this thing? Those are the questions you should be asking. If you're starting as a non-profit, okay. It's different from a business, but even with the non-profit, what's your sustainability plan? Who will pay for these things? What's your plan on fundraising? Do you have, you know, donors in place? That's on one hand. And if it's a pet project, it's also fine. So what's the duration? But if you really want to start a pet project, maybe have you thought of maybe collaborating with already existing people and just lending your expertise, and maybe they can give you credit for some things, but why do you have to start a totally new thing? And then when I finish talking to them, and more often than not, they go like, wow, I didn't really think it was like this. I just thought it was just a new thing. I didn't know this much. There was this much work involved. And I laugh and say, well, it's not an experiment. It's not a hobby. It's an actual, you know, it's a job. It's a real thing. So if it's a business, you got to drop everything and do it. So it's another thing where doctors start startups or help people start startups and they still have a day job. That's going to be difficult to fly. It might work in the early days, but if you really want to do it, you're going to have to drop everything else, really. Because digital health is already hard enough. You can't have divided attention. So yeah, so that's what I mean by motive. I'm not saying whether they are starting it for money or not. A lot of people starting it are starting it for the right reasons because they are passionate about healthcare and they want to make a change. And that's important for any entrepreneurship. Talk about people like Elon Musk. He's doing it because he wants to, you know, make stuff happen. He wants to push the boundaries. And as it still happens, he's making money along, right? And as of course, as the company grows or as the organization grows, you now begin to add other people who will now, you know, become laser focused. And so you add other people who will tell you that, you know what, this is how we can X our revenue. This is how we can make better products. This is how we can build better systems. Right. So motive for starting is important. You know, what exactly you're trying to achieve, whether it's for profit, whether it's non-profit, or it's just something you just want to do on the side and enjoy. And all three are absolutely fine. Also, there's the issue of duplicitous services. So you have people starting stuff that 30 people have already started. There's no problem with that. But if you are doing it the exact same way, like when I hear another telemedicine platform, I'm like, really? There's so many of us already, right? And I don't even consider our platforms telemedicine platforms because we've built platforms with my party, for example. We are the go-to platform for a young person looking for sexual and reproductive health stuff. Whether it's information, you got it. Whether it's access to medical personnel, that's the telemedicine part, we got it. Whether it's products and services, we have the My Party Shop, you got it. If you are constantly trying to have everything that a young person needs, even now we even added, you know, mental health services where, you know, as an offshoot of the fact that sexual and reproductive health is inextricably linked with mental health, you can now also, you know, chat with therapists. So all these things, that's what even one platform does. So if you just start a platform, say another telemedicine platform, it probably doesn't make any sense. Why don't you think of collaborating with the guys already there? Or why don't you try and actually trying to see these startups that are doing these things, why are they not thriving? What are they doing wrong? Okay, how can I make it better? Not just saying, okay, I've seen that they've won some awards, so I need to join. That's again for another thing for the motive. The one thing I'll say is that in the healthcare space, you have a lot of people who maybe they'll look at someone like me who has gotten, I agree that I've gotten a lot of awards. But it's the hard work, you know, committed to the projects, to the vision that's actually gotten these awards. So maybe you see Dr. Charles Akimia, so Mandela Washington Fellow, Man Young World Ambassador, Obama Leader, UNSD Pioneer, blah, blah, blah. The only thing he does is that he just has one apple that pregnant women can use. Okay, now started this one for young people. If I do this, if I just have this app for maybe diabetics or something, I'll get the same awards. And maybe I can now, you know, relocate abroad or, you know, just become a change maker. There's almost that like glory hunting. That's actually not cool. Because first of all, you're supposed to be solving a problem, right? Then secondly, things might not work out for you the same way they worked out for me. You might not win any award. So what now happens, right? So that's talking about motive again. That's the one thing I'll say that I see with a lot of people. And they go in it for the glory, not necessarily even for the fact that they want to build something that will last, right? And that's a problem. Also, big part of it, like I talked about, you know, previously, is they start these things with no business model. So when they finally say they want to start a business, right, or they want to start an organization, they register it as a business. Okay, so this is your healthcare platform. What is the business model? How does it make money? I always tell people, I was in a like a digital health, you know, webinar recently where I told the people like the most important thing is really not the idea, because everybody has ideas. When if you close your eyes and think for 3 hours, you will think of 10 different ideas, I assure you, if you are a creative person. However, the key is in the execution. Yeah? The devil is in the details, as they say. So the problem is, you think of these ideas, you want to start this solution. What's the business model? Is your solution one that somebody is willing and able to pay for? That's always the first question when people come to meet me. So, is it something people can pay for? Is it something that people are available to pay for? Are they willing to pay for it? Are they able to pay for it? And the people paying for it might not be end users. They might be maybe corporate. So it might be bit like we say, I didn't want to use, you know, jargon, but B2B, B2C. So it might be a business providing a service where the end users pay. It might be a business providing a service that other businesses are paying for, maybe their employees or their clients or whatever. You need to ask yourself those. I think you need to spend the most time. You can spend months doing it, but that's one of the reasons why, you know, digital health startups struggle. You know, also just focusing on the wrong stuff. Like I said, you know, focus on the fact that, you know, you want to win awards. Even us, when we started, you know, even me winning all the awards that I've won, or the ones that my co-founder won, and the awards that our solutions have won, I always tell people that it's a means to an end. We don't really care about the awards, but we care about, one, the visibility that the awards give, and then, two, the funding that the awards give. You need funding to run your business. And there's already a disadvantage when you're in digital health, because people are more likely to invest in, say, fintech, where they can understand how the money comes on a daily basis, than maybe digital health. So we have to be innovative. So even when we're getting like grant funding and stuff, it's competitive. That is why we are getting the awards, right? Because of the funding. So focusing on the wrong stuff, like getting awards for just awards themselves, doesn't make any sense, right? So that's again a problem. And then another thing is, I have discovered that health startups are not ambitious enough, right? They are very risk averse. I'll give you one classic example that ties with this and also focusing on the wrong stuff. You see, maybe, and this is especially common with nonprofits, they maybe launch a service that is a sexual health or sexual and reproductive health, you know, campaign or project, or maybe even mobile app. And you'll say that the launch, they're launching it and they're inviting the commissioner for health, they're inviting people in the hospital management board, and they're inviting, you know, members of the academia, they're inviting the media, you know, like proper posh media. So there's no social media presence, one. The people who use it, young people, they are probably not there. Or even if they are there, they are at the back, because all the dignitaries are in front. And it's a lecture maybe in the auditorium of a university, and it's a 2-hour event, loads of speeches, there is refreshment at the end, and everybody goes home. They've launched the service. And it's bad because even donors, like people abroad, who are, you know, funders, they are used to this sort of thing. They probably even like it. That doesn't make any sense. I always say that that's just pure foolishness. When we launched MyPaddy, all the people we had who were funding us at the beginning, one of the things we've always been very vocal about is doing things the right way, doing things that actually make a difference, and not just pandering to you as the donor, because at the end of the day, if we collect that money and we do things in the normal way, I think we'll fail and we've become, you know, what I criticize. So when we launched the app, we did it we basically organized a show where we called an influencer, an ex-reality TV star. We invited young people. We told them it was a show where we target MyPaddy Live with Alex Unusual. come and have fun, no gate fee. So they were used to when people bring celebrities, they pay gate fee. But at the door, show this app. That was the launch. We had over 2,000 young people in attendance that day. We had 8,500 people download the app on the day just to get into the auditorium. Right? We didn't call any, top dignitaries. I'm not saying those they are not important. There is a place for, that sort of engagement, but not when you are launching a product for young people. It was a show. There was a lot of, dancing, there was a lot of presentations. People came to rap. But in between, we actually even had like 30 minutes where we talked about things like HIV and STDs and all of that. And like I said, 8,500 people in one swoop. That's how to launch a product for young people. Not gathering them in a room with some elderly people where you just sit down and somebody is giving a lecture. So it's again focusing on the wrong stuff. And I think in healthcare, because a lot of the people in healthcare are people who are trained in the medical sector, so doctors, pharmacists, we are generally not risk averse. We've learned to play it safe our whole lives. There is this way of not being too ambitious, right? Because there's a hierarchy. So that even transmits to even when we run startups. But you see that the startups who are run by, business people, one guy that just, we can code, it's different because it's like, oh, they want to do this. You tell them why and they say, why not? So that's a problem. So you have to, all of the things that you see that we're doing, for example, with my party, trying influencer marketing, being ambitious with our marketing, and even our choice of, where we are located and stuff like that. It's because we want to do things differently, right? We are ambitious and we take risks. Risks don't always pan out. That is why they are risks. So if it backfires, it's okay. You try something else, right? Like they say, fail fast. So these are the issues. So really, the whole point of this podcast is when next you hear of a digital health startup that is probably doing well, I think you should have a renewed sense of, wow, these guys are really, doing well against the odds. And then when you hear of one that is probably struggling, it's also good to understand why. It's not for lack of trying most of the times. It's just because it is what it is. The sector is different, but we'll keep pushing. Thank you very much, and I hope you had a great time. This is The Opus with Dr. Charles. I'm an entrepreneur, innovator, and changemaker, and here we'll talk about issues affecting young people, and it is my hope that with each episode, you will improve even more. So, welcome.